are listening on their job or whatever they might be doing. So we just welcome you. Let's open with prayer this morning before we get running. Okay, Lord, we come and sit before you. We come right now and separate ourselves so that we can hear from you, that your word becomes alive as we sit here and listen and look and meditate on the things you have said to us. We thank you, Lord, that your word brings life, it brings health, it brings healing. So we're forever grateful and thankful that you are in the people changing business, that you changed us because of what Jesus did on the cross. So Lord, we position ourselves in a place today to receive from you everything that you bought and paid for, everything that you gave us, so that we are missing nothing, lacking nothing. We have all of you, so therefore we are blessed. Thank you, Lord. We're excited about what you got for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, many of you know me. I don't usually introduce myself, but the Lord told me today to just make sure you know who I am. I'm Pam Johnson. I am on staff here at Cornerstone Fellowship Church. I'm Pastor Chris and Debbie's assistant. I'm also Pastor Doug's wife. We have been married for 47, 48 years. We have three daughters, and we've had a roller coaster ride with the Lord, but praise God, look what he has done. He took a girl who almost committed suicide, tried to drive off the Coleman Bridge, to sending me home to get into the Word and to pray for my husband. And it may have taken some time, but my husband finally got up and went to church. And over a period of several years, God had a call on his life. We went into the ministry. We served at a church down the road here for a couple of years. We left that ministry, that denomination, and we came and sat underneath Pastor Chris and Debbie here at Cornerstone Fellowship Church. And we have started serving here for 15 years now. So you're in the right place, getting the right word. They teach faith here. They teach the full gospel from the beginning to the end, and you will lack for nothing. So you are in the right place. You positioned yourselves. So we're going to talk about healing today, but we're going to talk about one thing. And I pray that by the end of this, you probably will say, okay, I know what that one thing is, and I'm going to do it. So you know you've been coming to Healing Center for any length of time. Either this is your first day or you have been coming here since the beginning, which is probably over 15 years. You will not be surprised that you've been schooled into faith. You are being schooled into faith. You may have been like a lot of us that said, I'm never going back to school. But you're being schooled into faith, and that's the only way to win in life. The Bible reveals truth to us. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Are you eating the harvest, or are you experiencing the fruit of the words that you spoke yesterday, last week, last year, or even when you were a kid? Every time we speak, we plant seeds, and we get to eat that fruit. The conversations we've had with ourselves in our head, the thoughts and the conversations, the imaginations, that is creating the life that we are living today. No different than the food we ate yesterday is the results today. Sickness has ears. Jesus spoke to fever and it heard him, and it left immediately out of Peter's mother-in-law, Luke 4:38. Trees have ears. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and it withered away. The storm, the wind, and the seas have ears. Jesus rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea and they became calm. Mark 4:39. Demons and unclean spirits have ears. Jesus spoke to them and they came out. The dead have ears. Jesus spoke to them and they rose up. The little girl arose in Mark 5. The young man, he said to him, arise in Luke 7. Lazarus, come forth out of that grave in John 11. Even the deaf and mute spirits have ears. Jesus commanded them and they had to obey. Jesus spoke with faith and authority and all creation responded. So that's how powerful words are. Things obey words. So no different than us obeying our own words. So watch the words you're speaking of yourself and you're speaking around you, because they're creating in you what you will experience. I think there's enough proof there that God made our words powerful and they will change the course of our lives. As he spoke, we speak. As he declared, we declare. And as he commanded, we get to command. We are made in his image and we have that authority to do those same things. As he exercised that authority, we get to exercise that authority. As he is, so are we in this world. Your body has ears too, so you need to be speaking to it. Your brain is listening. Have you noticed that your phone is listening to you? Have you maybe said something and in a conversation or just out of the blue, and then all of a sudden it comes across every feed you turn on? I don't even know if it's probably the TV too. Things are listening to us. I don't know if you realize that. I think the disciples were shocked when they went by that fig tree that a couple days later and saw it dead. And Jesus had just told it, no, nobody gets any fruit off you anymore, you're gone. That's what things listen to us. So let's let God's truth lead our way. We need to be delighting ourselves in the will of the Lord so that we get the desires of our heart, not just what we see or what we imagine in our brain. When you're tempted to replay a hurt, stop and forgive. I think you've probably heard the message of forgiveness quite often lately. I think Pastor Debbie taught it for a few weeks. Christian talked on it last week. My husband talked on it. So when you're tempted to replay a hurt, no matter if it's a car that passed you, a word that was said to you, something major, stop and forgive. Keep in mind that forgiving is not for others, it's for you. Forgiving is not forgetting, but it is remembering without the anger attached to it that will destroy you. It frees you up in your power, it heals your body, it heals your mind, and it keeps your spirit connected with God. Forgiveness opens up a pathway to a new place of peace where you can persist despite what happened to you. Leave it in the dust behind you. I like to say it's like a cloud that's going by. Just let it float on by. Don't call it back and hold it there so you can focus on it. It will end up destroying you. Learning not when to speak can save you from unnecessary troubles and regret. So let me remind you why you're here today. God is not a topic you study. He is a person you get to know. You are here to hear the words and to get healing or to get a to find out how to walk in life, but you are really here to get acquainted with your Father. You are here to grow close to Him. And when you grow close to Him, nothing in this life can touch you, because you're in his presence. I have always learned that when I live my life, when I started living this life, that every breath I take is in him. Everything I do is in him. It's not compartmentalized. It's not I'm on at this time and off at that time, or I'm about other business. I'm always about the Father's business. Make that your main goal. So, You see this little piece of paper? It's got something written on it, right? So, I tear it, what is it? Still a piece of paper. I tear it again. It's still a piece of paper. If I tear it again and again, it's still paper, but is it useful? No. It is paper, but it has been torn into many, many pieces. And it is really shows a picture of us, of what anxiety does to our minds. Jesus said something powerful in Matthew 25. He said to do not worry about your life. Now, if we read that in the English, we assume Jesus is saying, so just relax. Stop stressing about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to do. But the word he's using here in the Greek is a word that's called merimio. It's M-E-R-I-M-M-O. And one of the meanings of this word for worry or troubled or anxiety is meaning to pull apart mentally. And to get deeper than that, that word comes from a root word of merizo, M-E-R-I-Z-O, which means to divide, to separate, to tear into pieces. So when we worry, we tear our minds into pieces. When we have anxiety and troubles over the littlest things to the biggest of things, we end up separating ourselves and tearing ourselves into pieces. So Jesus wasn't telling everybody, hey, just chill out. Stop stressing. Settle down. Relax. I'm sure you've said that to yourself or somebody else. He was telling them to do not let your mind become divided. So James reminds us is in James 1:5, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when you think about many things, you can become unstable. You got too much going on. I wonder who else is like that. Who else likes to divide things? Who else likes to bring division in your lives? The enemy. That's a strategy, really, to bring in separation, especially between friends and family, not only in your mind, but in your everyday life. Sin separates us from God. So sin can separate us. So he's always about trying to get those things in that get us separated from our Father, separated from people, messed up in our mind because we have too much to do. Division is what separates us completely. So anxiety is what separates our mind from trusting God, doubting God's faithfulness. So this passage is kind of important, that Matthew 6:25, where he says, don't worry about your life. Because a few verses earlier, just one verse earlier in Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So then in 25, I'm just going to complete it. So in 25, he says, so therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. Do not worry about your life. What will you eat? What will you drink? Nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more important than the body and more than things? Why does he say it in that order? You know, when the Bible was written, we have it almost like a storybook where it has little titles and separated, but it was written in a full context. It wasn't separated like that. So that's why I pulled that together, those two. If you look in your Bible, they're two different sections. But if you read it, he says, do not serve two masters. And then he goes right to the next verse and says, Do not be anxious, troubled, or worried about your life. He understood a divided heart always leads to an anxious mind. Worry isn't just about fearing what's to come. It's allowing your heart to become divided between God, between what God said and what your circumstances said. You know, science is catching up to that. You've probably read that, and most, if you do any kind of searching for any kind of help anywhere, it's kind of caught up with that, where it says that Jesus taught thousands of years ago. There's a research team that went around, and they studied a couple hundred of people over a three-year period, and they discovered that the more people fixated on their symptoms, the worse those symptoms got. And what they found out is they ended up tolerating their symptoms, and they thought they were a part of their life. I just got to put up with this. This is just part of life. This is who I am. They found out that people nursed their symptoms, and that those symptoms continued to get worse, because they tolerated them and because they thought they were a part of their lives. But their mental and physical functions also declined, and they literally got worse. The more focus and attention they gave to the problem, the more that problem had power over them. And symptoms are real. We all understand that. We all have things that happen to us. What I'm saying is your focus can be a catalyst that perpetuates them. So that's why you need to be watching what you're thinking about and what you're speaking with your mouth. We don't need to give those symptoms permission to exist and function in our lives. When we give more attention to we give more attention to symptoms than what we give to Jesus. And that's why it's so great that you separate yourselves out and come to Healing Center. That you take the time, that you put those things on the back burner that can sit for 1 hour. 1 hour, you get the word to remind you of what you're supposed to be speaking, what you're supposed to be thinking, what you're supposed to be doing. And it doesn't allow your mind to keep getting distracted, because you can get distracted by so much. I don't know if you get up in the morning and decide, I had purpose to set apart to do this. Study the word for an hour. How many of you go in and start the dishes and do the laundry and go to make the list for the store? We can get divided very quickly. So we're talking about staying focused on the word today, so that we do not lay down our rights to what God already bought for us. So the enemy doesn't really need to destroy you. All he has to do is divide your mind and divide your trust in God. Jesus forgave all our sins. God forgave all our sins on the cross and healed every disease. When we divide our focus like the paper, we end up getting really messed up. We get combobulated, we get confused, we can start to doubt. You can say, oh well, this has happened. Maybe God doesn't really love me anymore. Maybe God doesn't want to heal me anymore. And I think we all know those are lies from the enemy. And we cannot think them no more than say them. So that's where you have to get yourself at attention, and you have to speak to yourself what the word says. You're so blessed here. I think I put this paper back here. All that paperwork back there that Pastor Debbie and the team has created give you declarations and statements with all the scriptures so that you can speak the word that by Jesus' stripes I am healed, instead of saying, oh, this pain, or I'm never gonna walk again, or I can't do that, or I hate that person because they did this. You can bring yourself to attention and speak the truth, because lies will take you down the deep pit of hell, and you do not wanna go there. They will destroy your life. Okay, let's open our Bibles. We're gonna actually read a scripture instead of me just reciting them. Let's go to Matthew 14, and I want to read a portion of scripture here. Matthew 14, 27 through 33. It is 22, excuse me. Matthew 14, 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he was dismissing the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountain and himself to pray. When the evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was blowing. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and he cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And they climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. Then those who were with him in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I didn't read all of it, but go back and read 14 when you get home. Jesus had just come from mourning John the Baptist. John the Baptist had just had his head beheaded, and he had gone away to pray, and he had come away from mourning John the Baptist. And then the multitude found him because they knew what he had in him. They knew they could touch him and they would be healed. He had compassion on them. He healed them. He taught them. Then he even fed them, 5,000 of them. And then he says, "We're getting out of here and going to the other side." And then a storm arises. And then the disciples, knowing who they had in the boat, but did they really know who they had in the boat? Peter seems to look like he knows a little bit about who he had in that boat. Because, "Oh Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And he decides to start walking out there. But what happens? He got his eyes off of Jesus, and he sunk. Praise God, Jesus was there to pull him up, just like he is with us. But I don't think they realized who they had in the boat with them. They acted like they did, but did they really know who they had in the boat? Do you know who you have in you? The master, the miracle worker, the man of man's. Do you know who you have in you? You were bought with a price. You are not your own if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you know who is in you? Keep your focus on him. You know, our brains and our minds believe what we see, what we feel, and what we tell it. Because we can tell it a lot of things. And your brain will fight to try to prove it. Maybe that's a limiting belief that kind of slows us down, that we're not good enough or God doesn't love us. But we have to turn around and speak to those things that oppose God. We have to learn to do what 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, to cast down those imaginations, those accusations that come against us, and bring them into captivity so that they are cast out and our mind gets renewed while we're pouring the word back in. Jesus told us how to take care of those things. I don't know if you understand what casting your care and your burdens on the Lord is. It means giving it to Him and leaving it there, not picking it back up. I remember there was a pastor once that we had, and he said, write it all down and put it in the table and put it in a pile and burn it. Don't pick it back up. Cast anything that is a lie and not the truth of God away from you, so that it does not take you captive. It does not attach itself to you. We have to challenge those lies. We have to stop letting the old story of our lives determine and decide the way we're going to live our future. You know, when you got born again, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. We say it. We believe. We hear it. We probably even believe it to the portion of Peter who knew he could walk out of the boat, but could he actually do it? Do you actually believe that the old has been tossed away and that you get to step into a new life? You get to live a new way. You get to separate yourself from that old stuff that was by default, that was not of Christ, that, you know, the evilness that you may have practiced, or just the darkness, or just the lack of having Christ. The old is passed away. You get to be a new creature. You get to be a new way of living life, a new way of being. You wonder some days. I remember when I started this walk, we would just, I couldn't separate, my husband still wasn't in Christ, but once he came in Christ, the old friends left. You had new friends that were in Christ. You started doing different things. You started reading different materials. You started listening to different music. You didn't listen to the old rock and roll or the whatever, the country music that, you know, whatever that did. I mean, we grew up with it, but you decide, no, I'm a new creature. I live a new life. So it's the same thing with your mind. You have to create new pathways in your mind. I have always heard it said that, you know, it's almost like Swiss cheese in there, because once you start, Pastor Chris used to teach it, if you know, you get a worn pathway from the house to the neighbor's house because you went that way every single day. It's the same way in your brain, because when you think something, it makes a pattern. Don't you just get up and do certain things without even thinking it? You have created patterns and habits in your life. And then if they're bad habits or bad things to do or just not producing fruit or not kingdom ways, you have to stop those. And the only way you can stop those is by speaking the word of God. So there's one thing vital about memorizing scriptures and speaking the word of God. As you speak it, you hear it. And as you hear it, it starts to form new patterns. But it has to be a continual practice. It cannot be a Sunday sit in church and a Wednesday sit in church and then go about life. You have to be intentional. You have to be purposeful. You have to have a pattern, a new pattern, and a new way of life. You cannot go around by default, and 1 hour on Sunday or 2 hours on Sunday is not going to change your life. Now, I'm going to tell you to be here. I'm going to tell you to listen. But I'm going to tell you, just thinking you come in this building and walk back out and go about your normal routine is not going to help you. You have got to be in the Word. You've got to be reading the Word. You've got to be studying the Word. I think I brought... Sorry, I'm moving around. When I got up this morning, I pulled these out. You've heard Pastor Debbie talk about how she and Pastor Chris took index cards and they wrote the Word on those and they studied and they studied and they studied. You have to be purposeful. We did that same very thing. We would get up and we would write scriptures on index cards and we would read them. We would study and then we put them in. I'd have them in the kitchen. My husband would have them at his workstation and we put the scripture and we would recite them and recite them and recite them and recite them till they were in our heart. So then we knew them. We trusted them. We put our eyes on them because we loved the Lord and we wanted to serve Him. We found out that, look, I didn't have to go to hell. I didn't have to be sick. I didn't have to put up with that junk and that anger and those hurts and those lies. I get to be in Christ. I'm a new creature. I get to walk His walk and I get to live this precious life and I get to live with Him forever. And these things help to us. If you're not doing this, make it a point. It gets so easy to look at it on the phone, but I'm going to tell you, it's so easy to forget it or just mull over it and not put it in your heart. This is helpful. So you need to be keeping your eyes on Jesus and realize who it is you are following. It's not just as simple, I just want it all. You want Him. Praise the Lord. You guys get a lot more than I prepared, even though I have a pile. I have a pile. So I want to talk to you about what Brother Hagin said. Pastor Debbie and Pastor Chris talk about Brother Hagin quite often. Well, Brother Hagin had an accident, and he injured his arm. And while he was in the hospital, the Lord came to him, stood before him, and told him some things. He said, "My best is that my people never even be sick or have an accident, but very few people ever walk in my best." There's a number of reasons. This is what the Lord told him. There's a number of reasons why my people get sick and have accidents and have to go to the hospital and have to be operated on and have to go to doctors. Number one, the number one reason is because most of them don't know what belongs to them. That's why you read the Word. Number two is that they don't know, the number two reason is if they do know these truths, so many of them are weak in faith. The number two reason is that they do know these truths, but they walk in weak faith. Pastor Debbie's been preaching on faith. And the number three reason is because they are disobedient. They got sin in their lives, and they just need, it's as simple as, Lord, forgive me and move on. So, my people don't know what belongs to them, and they are weak in faith. So we have to be strong in our faith, and we have to think right. If we think right, then we'll believe right. And if we believe right, we'll act right. Then we'll receive right. If we think wrong, we will believe wrong and speak wrong, and then we'll have wrong things happen to us. God can only work through good thinking, and the devil works through wrong thinking, correct? That's why we need to keep seeking the right things. We need to watch out that wrong, that we're not just meditating on whatever out there. Wrong thinking opens doors to the enemy and closes doors to God. But the right thinking opens the right doors to God. It just does. The time you spend in the Word is precious time. Romans 12, 1 and 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." What's the remedy for wrong thinking? It's renewing your mind with the Word of God. Taking God's way of thinking, God's way of being, and putting it in you. Our greatest defense against the enemy is a renewed mind. Any Christian who is bound who is in bondage is not in bondage to the devil. They are in bondage to an unrenewed mind. You just become lazy and don't want to study the Word. Or you become over-occupied. Divided mind, too much to do, the Mary and Martha syndrome. Christians who fail to renew their mind with the Word of God will be harassed, will be troubled, and be mentally beat up. But we don't have to live that way. We are not supposed to live that way. How about that one? We do not need to live in mental torment. We do not need to be harassed while we're on this earth. Our lives can be transformed and renewed with the Word of God. We need to learn every thought that comes to you doesn't actually come from you. You have to learn to filter the words that are coming. The devil speaks thoughts to your minds. The world speaks thoughts to your mind, and we must recognize where they came from and if they're any good for us. Fear and doubt have offsprings called worry, which we just talked about. Recognize that worry is a flow of fear and we have to take a stand against it. We must learn to recognize wrong thoughts. We need to refuse them. We need to turn them away. We need to cast them down and not pick them back up. We can't fight thoughts with thoughts. We fight thoughts with words, as we've said before, so that you have to actually speak the word out. So I recommend that you read it out loud. You listen to it on Audible as you read the words, because it filters in and it keeps, your mind wanders too much if you do it the other way. If you decide to just sit in the outside and just look at the words, sometimes you could fall asleep. Sometimes you could start making all kinds of lists, but make sure you're reading it, because it's going to keep your focus. It's going to allow God to speak to your heart and change things. It's just going to start to open up and give you revelation. And you must fight with these words. The word of the Spirit is just a sword. It's a sword that you fight with. We become warriors when we get the Word of God in our mouth, and we become strategic in our authority, because when we use them, they will accomplish what they were sent for. God's words are a seed and they never fail. They always produce what He sent it for, if we will use it. But if we sit there with our mouth shut, or sit there in a pity party, or sit there talking about something else, it'll never come to pass. So we have to be purposeful, and we have to spend time worshiping God, and we have to keep our attention on Him like Peter needed to do when he walked to Him, that we keep our focus on Him. Right thinking will close the doors, and right thinking will open doors for us, and wrong thinking will close doors for us, and it will stop the flow of God working in our lives. We need to keep growing in our faith. We need to keep living the days of heaven on earth that God promised us. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, uninterrupted peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. We keep our mind stayed on Him. We keep our focus on the Lord. Amen. Now, those declarations of us speaking out is declaring God's goodness in our lives. I'm going to read a couple of them. Philippians 4. Now this is going to mimic John 6. Be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We're not supposed to be thinking on the anxiety and the worry. It says, be careful for nothing, to be purposeful and intentful that we stay at peace with God, so that nothing is missing in us, and so that we're thinking on the good, the honest, the pure, the true, the lovely, the things of good report. Think on these things. Say on these things. Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. There's a wrong way to hang out and a right way to hang out. And when you hang out with the God stuff, you hang out with kingdom stuff, you get to be growing in the right way. You get to produce fruit. This is an intentional way of living. Second Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You cast down anything that's not of God, not of God, from God, in God. You cast those down. You cast down the lies of the enemy. And then you bring it into captivity, and just, you're not going to end up picking it back up. If you just think you had a cage in your house and any thought that came, you're going to put it there. You know, I'm not worthy. God doesn't love me. I'm never going to be healed. Oh, I'm a waste of time. Once you start entertaining those items, which I did at one time, those are the reasons I considered suicide driving off the Coleman Bridge, because I entertained every one of those voices. And you have to learn what voice you're listening to. And then you have to learn to cast down those voices and pick up the voice of Christ in this word. You know, this, your Bible is Jesus in print. It is the life, living, breathing word of God. It always produces what it says it's going to produce in you. Why do we take it so? Pick it up, read it, speak it over yourself. Don't tolerate the lies. Put them in captivity. Kick them out. You got to kick them out. And the enemy comes and tells you, hey, you've got terminal blank, 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 blank. You say, no, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Jesus took that stripe on his back and I am healed. I am not taking that report. Now, I will do what I have to do, but I will not take that report. I believe the report of the Lord. So you choose to take captive what comes at you, because stuff comes at us. We live in a world that is fallen. What does he tell us? That Satan is the god of this world. Adam gave him the keys. We have victory over him, but do we know who's in the boat with us like Peter? Do we know just enough to say, okay, I'm going to get out on the water and I'm going to start speaking to it, and then when it doesn't happen, I'm going to back up? And he doesn't want us to be unstable. He doesn't want us to be divided. He wants us to be strong in him and the power of his might. He wants us to put on the full armor and stand in our authority just like Jesus did. It is written. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is come out of the mouth of God to produce a fruit in our lives that cannot be pushed down, that cannot be destroyed, that cannot be put out. It's a fire that will burn in our bones till we walk it out. Walk it out. Believe who is in you. Stand up and fight the fight you're supposed to be fighting. Not the arguing, the bickering, the name calling with your neighbors, your friends, or your families. Stand up and fight the one you're supposed to fight. And he's already been destroyed. So all you have to do is determine it in your life. You draw the line in the sand and you say, it's done. It's done. And when we did that, it was done. We chose to walk the walk that God wanted us to walk. We sold our land. We sold everything we had, and we trusted God to take us where he wanted to take us. You can do the same thing. Trust God with your life. What does Proverbs 3 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, imaginations, thinking, whatever's up here. In all your ways, you acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. He doesn't leave us forsaken. He does not leave us to our own if we ask for help. Trust him with all your heart. Lean not to what's up here that's not according to the word. Now, he gives the ability of us to fill ourselves up and to renew our mind. But what happens when we go into reasoning? We become like this paper. When we start reasoning, there's a right thing to counting the cost, but when you start reasoning, you start, should I do this? Should I do that? What about this? What about that? You get a divided heart. And it really makes you immobile. It really snuffs you out, and you really miss out on what God told you to do because you're judging by your vision and your focus if what he said to do was right. If he said it, you do it. If he said it, he will empower you to do it. And if he said it, by my stripes, you are healed. He did it. But we start letting our brain and our mind and our feelings dictate to us otherwise. Now, you got to take those thoughts captive. I was raised in the 60s and the 70s. Some of you might have been too. Do you remember? I'm not sure if it was Snow White or Sleeping Beauty. I think it was Sleeping Beauty, but the Walt Disney movies. But it probably was every Walt Disney movie, if you come down to it. It always had a dark, enchanted forest, filled with evil, tangled with gloomy, desolate and ominous, filled with thorns. It was when we think wrong thoughts, dwell on the past, hurts, disappointed, wrong reports, our brain grows a forest of dark, tangled matter. Those thoughts grow like a cancer. If not kept in check, they consume our thinking, making wide paths that run our lives, creating patterns and habits and of stinking wrong thinking. Have you ever gone by the trash can and said, oh my goodness, that stinks, you need to take it to the dump? Well, when we allow our mind to wander, to reason, to become divided, it becomes stinking. We may be dressed right, come in here and say everything's fine, but when we're going back and forth in our brain over something, we become stinking thinking. What we think on, dwell on, and focus on becomes us. What we think about, we talk about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you think about, what you ponder, what you talk about, if you talk to somebody and you hear them, you can locate where they're at. Praise God, we get to help people. We talk about what motivates our actions. We talk about behaviors. And some of those things do become our lives. We need to change our thoughts. We need to change our mind. We need to change our reasonings. We cannot afford to have a thought in our head that he does not have. We cannot afford to have a thought in our head that the Father does not have in his. Especially about us. Otherwise, we believe lies and we get wrong results. Every time you say a negative statement, you release negative quantum energy throughout your body that affects the environment of your brain and your body, and it becomes toxic stress. Your cells adapt to that environment once you start speaking that, just like we talked about that research group that went around. The more you dwell on something, the more you tolerate it, the more you do it. So watch what you're speaking, watch what you're thinking, watch what you're filling your mind up with. When everybody else sees a valley of dry bones, we have to do it like God thinks. We have to see life. We have to speak life. God gave us that power to speak life into people, into places, and into things. Just like I started out to, Jesus spoke to things and they listened to him. Jesus spoke to not only people, but he spoke to things, to trees, to sickness, to whatever, and it obeyed him. Ezekiel spoke to dry bones and they became alive. We have the ability to be like our Father. We have the ability to walk in his goodness and his blessings. We have the ability to stand tall on this earth and be untouchable to the enemy. We have been empowered by him to live the God life, to live the kingdom life, to not be affected by everything. And so you come to Healing Center to find out who you are and what you have. And you continue to come. I heard last week that somebody said, you know, why do you go to Healing Center? Is there something wrong with you? Nothing has to be wrong with you to sit in God's presence and get his word. Stand up and be who you're supposed to be. The word is what we need. If you think you're above that, you're not going to get it. So I encourage you to be in the teaching of the word, to be standing on your authority of what God has bought and paid for you, to do those things of repetition that he tells you to do. You know, repetition, you probably heard me make these statements, and let's see if I can get to them. I can't get to them. So repetition is the motor of learning. Repetition makes you strong. Repetition communicates things. It is not just, oh, I've heard that before. If you've heard it before, then walk it out and live it. But we don't notice that. So keep doing the repetition. Repetition will produce faith. Doesn't Romans 10:17 tell us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word? Every time we read it, it produces more faith, more strength, more help for us. It is a repetition that will keep us from being defeated by the world, the enemy, and our flesh. Repetition is the winning thing. It works both ways though, right? So the warning is if you repeat the enemy's lies, that's what you get. Lies will blind you. Lies will bind you. Lies will deceive you. Lies will defeat you. But do you know what truth will do? Truth lets you see. Truth sets you free. Truth strengthens you. And truth will produce in you the victory that Jesus bought and paid for. The victory. Whenever Pastor Chris, anytime he says, you know, what is revelation? It's the victory of what Christ has done for me. It is the victory. This is powerful. The world uses this as a peace signal. Yeah, I have the peace of God in my heart, and I have the peacemaker himself in me, but this is the victory that Christ bought for me. He came to produce fruit, and we are going to walk in fruit. We're going to be the strongest, the healthiest, and the wholest people in the earth. We have a job to do. We have to get out and speak the truth. We're here to help people. That's what Jesus walked around the street. He was so filled with compassion, all they had to do was touch the cloak of his garment. We should be walking through everywhere we go, oozing out the kingdom anywhere we go. We have been equipped with it. We've not been equipped to be broke, busted, and disgusted, as my husband says. He said he gave us life and life more abundantly. You have been given the keys to the kingdom. So use the keys you've been given. Use them. Now, I hope you have realized the focus that you have. Let me find my one piece of paper because I've got to say it. So we need to keep our eyes on him. Psalms 23. And we're going to close out. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord set a table for you. The Lord has set a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Who's at your table? You didn't give him a seat, did you? The Lord has prepared a table for you so that you get to eat of his goodness and his mercy while we're here on this earth. He set that for you. You get to choose. Do you want life or do you want death? Do you want blessing or do you want curses? By the words you speak, the things you do, the places you go, and what you feed on. The Lord then said in Deuteronomy, choose life, so that you and your descendants can live. He's given us the answer to every question, the solution to every problem, and it's life in him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But I hope you realize that if you're in Christ, you were bought with a price. You are no longer your own. He owns it all. And we get to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we get to eat the fruit of it all. He has blessed us with a table full of abundance, and we get to eat at that table. No matter who's watching, no matter who's spitting lies at us, no matter who's shooting arrows at us, he gave us a faith shield so that it doesn't have to touch us. You do not have to be unstable, divided in your mind with reasonings and doubt and unbelief. Keep feeding on the word. Keep trusting in him, and you will get the victory. Amen. Amen. Now, before we leave today, if you would like to